Matthew, let's turn to you then, because we've dwelled on fossils and remains and stone tools and things, but one of the things that you are a specialist in is actually interrogating these fossils, not just by looking at them, but it's becoming apparent that what a fossil is made of isn't just stone anymore.
Yeah,
tell us more.
For me, that's the really exciting new findings that have come out in a very, very short period of time, in fact. It's only really in the last decade that we've been able to systematically start to recover molecular data from these fossils.
By molecular data, just explain what you mean by that.
Well, I guess we're all familiar with the idea of DNA. We're all made of our DNA. And the discovery was made more like 20 years ago now that some DNA was surviving in some fossils. They were relatively young, so some of the latest Neanderthals, and short fragments were surviving. But then really dramatic changes in technology have developed so much that we can begin to recover far more detailed genetic information. So we've now got complete genomes of Neanderthals and of Denisovans. And what's really remarkable about the Denisovan genome is it comes from merely a fingernail bone and a tooth. So tiny amounts of material are releasing this wonderful, rich molecular data. The problem with that is that record, that DNA record, isn't going that far back in time. So we've already talked about the long story, the 6 million years of evolution. Sadly, the DNA record seems to fall away within about 400,000 years. You've got the Neanderthals, you've got moderns, but you don't go any further back.
Why?
Well, the problem with DNA is it's a very fragile molecule. Not that fragile, because it survives for quite a long time, but it's quite a complex molecule, and some of the bonds that create DNA are relatively high-energy bonds that are quite easy to break. So what we've been trying to do is look at other molecular sequences. DNA makes a thing called proteins. When you look around, your hair, your skin, that's all protein. So what we've been trying to do is get information sequence data from the proteins.
So just to summarize this then, DNA is a recipe book in a cell.
Yeah.
That recipe tells cells how to make proteins. So if you know what proteins a cell is making, you can sort of work out what genes must have made it. And you're saying because DNA is more flimsy than proteins, instead of going looking for just DNA, which we can only go back 500,000 years or so,
yeah,
if we go looking for the proteins, actually we can go back potentially a lot further.
Yeah, and the 500,000 years is also is cautioned because most of the DNA work that's been done has been done in very cold places, and that's not where humans evolved.
Tell us then, where have you been working and trying to pursue this?
So where we've gone is to the kind of classic hominid sites, but we haven't been looking for hominids themselves. We've gone to the humble ostrich eggshell. And the reason for that is because there's a lot of them about. So if you're developing new techniques, it's relatively easy to get hold of the material. Because these sites are so well studied, we have very good dating control on those sites. And with eggshells, they're fairly large. They have proteins trapped inside them. And we've been able to develop protocols to get those proteins out.
You've been to places where people like Lee dig up the remains of our human relatives, and they date them very carefully. So if you
yes.
find a piece of ostrich egg there in the same sort of context as Lee's digging up stuff he's dated to within an inch of its life, you can be reasonably confident that your piece of ostrich egg is that date.
That's right. I mean, the only places that people care to date that kind of material are where hominids are found. So
right.
we've gone to some of the classic hominid sites.
And how old are these bits of ostrich egg that you're looking at?
Well, we've deliberately gone progressively back further and further in time because we did not know at what point the sequences would run out. And that was a big surprise. As I say, they went back and back and back and back. And in fact, we still have sequences in the oldest thing that we've so far analysed, 3.8 million years.
So you've got a bit of ostrich egg from 3.8 yeah. million years ago. And you can get the proteins out of
it. And we can get partial protein sequences out. We don't get the full proteome of the ostrich, but we get partial protein sequences.
So putting this in perspective, when that ostrich laid their egg 3.8 yeah. million years ago, material that it deposited in the egg
yeah.
is still there, and you can extract it.
Its DNA told it to make proteins. It made the proteins made the eggshell, and some of that sequence is still there. I mean, it's really remarkable. Really,
and you
remarkable.
Can get it out, and can you read the amino acid building blocks that make up the protein so you can work out the genetic code of the ostrich that laid the egg?
Yeah, we can only read part of it because not all the protein survives. And that one of the things we've been trying to understand which parts survive and which don't, but absolutely, we can read the sequence and then we can compare the sequence with a modern ostrich.
So Lee, are the materials that you are extracting from sites in South Africa of sufficiently high quality in terms of their preservation that you could have a conversation with Matthew, for example, and potentially apply his techniques because they overlap in time?
Why, we've already had that conversation just this afternoon. Right. I mean, it's sort of remarkable doing this in Cambridge. I was at the Eagle Pub last night, and where this all actually started. You know, the idea that we're now combining what were thought to be separate streams that would never reach each other. DNA was like a railroad track running next to a river, which was the hominid fossil record, and protein was off on the other side. That we're now seeing these incredible advances that are bringing all three of these critical sciences, each needing each other, into building a picture of the complexity of where ostriches come from, but also where our lineage comes from, what it did at any one time.
Well, the way I was getting at this is that if Matthew can work out the, or at least partial genetic code of an ostrich, can we pull the same stunt for Naledi, Homo Naledi, one of the species that you have uncovered? Do you have material that could be amenable to this?
I can tell you, we will try it. I think all of us are concerned about the destruction of relatively precious material for these sort of stays, particularly in the early stages. But the fantastic point is that as we are beginning to push people further and further by saying, no, you can't until you get the technique on smaller amounts. But it will happen, and we are going to learn extraordinary things, I would predict.
How much stuff do you need, Matthew, to do this?
Well, I mean, Lee's quite right. We should not be destroying samples until we know exactly what we're doing. Now, we're working with pretty small samples of ostrich eggshell at the moment, considerably less than a teaspoonful of salt. But still, I think we can get better. What we want to try and do is get as much information as we can out of these samples. So we're still in the stage of developing the techniques before we work on these really valuable fossils.
And what has changed in recent years that means that you are now able to do this where you couldn't before? How do you do it?
We have ridden on the back of medical technology, in a sense. People, once they'd sequenced the genomes, they became interested in what the DNA was doing, so looking for the proteins. And so the medical world has been developing more rapid and more sensitive instrumentation. And what's been remarkable for us is that it wasn't possible with the instruments from the last generation. It's only the last couple of years the machines have been good enough to detect these tiny amounts of proteins and also to map the damage on the proteins so that we can actually tell an ancient from a modern sample.
Absolutely amazing stuff.